us, Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning's gospel reading opens with the subject of prayer. We just sang about prayer. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. John 16:23 is how we opened up the gospel reading. And the reading ends with tribulation. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Prayer and tribulation. Now, it's been said that in the earliest days of Christianity, believers in Jesus knew prayer below ground in the Roman catacombs and tribulation above ground in the center of the Colosseum, where they died grisly deaths for what they believed, what they taught others, and what they confessed before Caesar, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he is their Savior, that he is your Savior. As Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus overcame the world for you. His public death on the Roman cross and his public resurrection from the tomb confirmed that he was not a liar. Everything he said was true. He got up from the grave, as he said, verifying that all that he taught was true. He proved that he was not a lunatic, someone on the level of a poached egg who thought he was God, but that he actually was the Lord. He literally got up from the grave. He was God in the flesh, Yahweh incarnate, come to save you and me from death. And so, it was in his name that the early Christians prayed to God the Father. And it was because of his death, and especially his defeat of death, the resurrection, that our forefathers were willing to suffer horrific tribulation. Of the first 12 Christians who learned to pray in the name of Jesus, I'm talking about our Lord's OG disciples, 11 experienced extreme tribulation, death. John, St. John, was the only one who died a natural death, which means his tribulation in this life was experienced slowly and repeatedly into old age. His brother, James, was beheaded. Peter was crucified in Rome. Paul was killed there too, beheaded outside the city gates because he was a Roman citizen. Philip was crucified. Matthew was killed with a halberd. Who knows what a halberd is? Halberd is that long spear-like thing with the axe head on top and the pokey spike, right? Matthew was killed with that thing. Bartholomew and Thomas were murdered for Jesus, Bart being crucified like our Lord, and Thomas was run through with a spear, getting very intimate with that wound that he stuck his hand in when Jesus said, stick your hand here, Thomas. Huh, now he knows exactly how that wound was inflicted. In Jerusalem, Matthias, who is Judas's replacement, was not only stoned, but then he was also beheaded just to make sure the job was done. Peter's brother Andrew was crucified on a cross that came to bear his name. It was fixed in the ground, but not like a T, like the crosses we're used to, but like an X. And so St. Andrew's cross is an X, and he is spread eagle in his crucifixion. Jude was also known as Thaddeus, and he was crucified, as was Simon the Zealot. And this is how it began with the boys. And it's still happening, tribulation in the name of Jesus. God's sons and God's daughters being killed for the Lord. Many of our brothers and sisters have been and are and will be martyred, just like the 11 disciples who were killed. While others of us have not been and will not be expected to give our lives in a flash of faith, but to endure the slow boil of tribulation, suffering like St. John until nature runs its course. The World War II Lutheran martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it well. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. He goes on to say that no matter what the death ends up looking like, it's always the same death. It's always death in the name of Jesus Christ. The call to discipleship, he says, the call to be a Christian, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, means both death and life. The call of Christ, his baptism, sets the Christian in the middle of the daily arena against sin and the devil, Bonhoeffer says. Every day, every single day, you encounter new temptations. And every single day, you must suffer anew for Jesus, for his sake. The wounds and the scars that you receive in the fray are living tokens of your participation in the cross of your Lord. And so, because we've been called into the tribulation of our Lord, every single one of our deaths is a death in the Lord. And we have been given the grace to have the ability to pray in Christ's name, to be like Christ and go straight to the Father as Christ did. Jesus has given you access to God, made his Father our Father, so that we can know his peace during our time in this world of tribulation. Peace that comes from knowing that Jesus has overcome the world. My friends, don't waste your time thinking of how you might stack up against the world, your enemies. It's a vain effort to consider yourself over and against your great enemies in this world. The world with its power-grubbing politicians, self-serving celebrities, and all those who work to create a culture hostile to you and your Christian ideals. Indeed, the devil and death itself, and even your own sinful heart. These enemies are far too strong for you to fight on your own. If you look to yourself, when you come toe-to-toe with your opponents, you're going to lose. Your sin, the devil, death, and the evil of the world, these antagonists have been killing and devouring men and women just like you for thousands upon thousands of years. They are battle-tested and hard. And you are a soft American Christian. You don't stand a chance. You're a fly facing off against a wolf. If a wolf can devour a sheep, don't you think a wolf can swallow a fly? I don't know why I'd want to swallow a fly. Perhaps it'll die. But seriously, this is why we live in Christ. This is why we pray in Jesus' name. Hey, buddy. Hi. Hi, Tiberius. How you doing? Oh, you just made my day. This is why we pray in Jesus' name. This is why Jesus says in John 16:33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, he says. I have overcome the world. Who has overcome the world? Jesus. Not you, not me, not the fly, the sheep who is our salvation. Christ, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world, who was crucified and resurrected for you and me. He has overcome the world. When your enemies have you pinned against the ropes, when you feel as though you can't throw one more single punch in the fight of faith, Remember the cross of Christ. Look your enemies in the eye and say, look here, you turd blossom, death, devil, sinful heart of mine. Look right here. Listen up, you woke warrior of worldly wisdom. It's time for you to be canceled. Christ has overcome your culture. I feel your fangs. I get it. They're long and they're sharp. I can see them. Your jaws open wide. And I can smell the bile on your breath. Oh. Compared to you, I'm but a little itty bitty fly. I know it. I'm the first to admit that I have no power to resist you. It's true. And your mob of minions. But before you tear into me, I gotta know something. What do you think about Jesus? I'm just curious. I mean, he said he's overcome the world, which is you. It's what he told me and my Christian siblings. And he said I could rely on his victory over you when you came looking for a fight. So I'm just curious, what do you think about Jesus? Yeah, swallow this fly. I don't know why you want to swallow this fly, but I know you'll die. I know you'll die because Christ has overcome you. Now back off. You already tried to take him down. You let him have your worst. Everyone saw it. It was in the public arena. You beat him to a bloody pulp. And then you took his limp body and you hung it up on a cross where he died of shock and suffocation and cardiac arrest. You killed him. Man, oh man, you killed him good. And he got up from the grave, didn't he? How'd that feel? You know he did. Let me see your nose, wolf. I got something to rub it in. Satan, sin, death. You sorry excuse of a washed up world. You gave my God everything you had, and he cleaned your clock with your own blows. He unleashed some crazy judo skills on you. He used your own momentum against you. And you are defeated. Dear Christians, in the world, we are outmanned, we are outgunned, and we are outnumbered. But I gotta tell you, when it comes to choosing sides, Jesus or the world, I'm going with Jesus. Over my sin, over the devil, over death, and over all the politicians and woke celebrities in the entire world, I'm going with Christ. No California governor or American president will be able to help me when death comes to get me. When you're wrestling with your own sins and they seem to be winning, no political movement, no vaccination plan, no mask mandate, no viral music video by your favorite artist or personal grit will be able to give you peace. Only Christ can do that. Christ says to you, I have spoken my words to give you peace. He doesn't say we'll find peace from the world. He doesn't say we'll get it from over there. That the world will share our values, that the world will support us and our interests. No, he says the opposite. He says the world will not do these things. The world will give you no rest, no peace, only tribulation. Christ alone is our source of peace. It's in his name that we pray, as we heard in 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 6, making supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. And notice this, for all people, even those who attack us, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, Paul says. And it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. My friends, dear saints, the world has not been kind to us Christians throughout the centuries. And though our country has experienced a season of peace due to God working through the hands of Christians and their hard-fought influence in this society, it's fading before our very eyes. We may experience tribulations like those of the original disciples in our lifetimes. But even if we don't, the devil will always be on your heels to torment your hearts. And this may be harder to take than spears, crosses, or those gnarly halberds. Either way, you, dear Christian, you have the word of the one who overcame the entire world. You have his name on your heart. Jesus, he is with you. He fights for you. He has given and he gives and he will continue to give you peace. It is yours. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.